Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another edition of On Point. Today we flip the seats a little bit around just a little bit. I'm your host, Dr. James Moore, and I have my co-host and best friend, Trey Salam. Brother Trey, how are you?
How you doing?
Morning?
I'm absolutely Excellent. Perfect. Good morning.
Now, I know we're going to kind of toss it up into the air and do something a little different this week. We got something that's
a little
less serious. Yes, and I'm under the impression that you're out on site making some big things happen. Before we get started today, why don't you bring us up to speed on what you got going on?
Well, I'll try to do my best. For those that know us, we're working on a project. It's called End Quick, and I'm on site right now on one of the sets, and we're with some gentlemen that we actually interviewed a couple months back called Adventurous Minds. So The End Quick is an action drama, and I'm in the midst of it. I get a chance to see how this is done. I get a chance to be a part of it, and we're gonna do some pretty decent stuff. They're actually shooting now.
Excellent. And what portion are you actually shooting right now?
Oh, we're actually shooting the wrap up of the trailer, and it's a fight scene between the guy and the bad guy, and it looks like right now, good guy getting beat down.
Okay.
The whole process is incredible.
Excellent. Well, we're going to have those gents back on the line, on the air, live sometime soon, and kind of have them bring us up to speed on their processes. And I know you got some big things
doubt.
In the works, and we'll have to focus on that sometime in the very near future. So
you know,
it's always good.
always.
Well, it's good to see folks out there doing things in the community and striving to make things happen, and I think that's always a positive. I think that we have to have that entrepreneurial perspective that sometimes is missing, I think, not only from the community, but also, we got a little background noise, also from from folks in general. No worries. So
let me say this real quick. I apologize for those our listeners. I'm on site, so I'm outside, and if you hear any noise, it's probably from me vehicle noise. I'm trying to be as quiet as possible, but we're outside, so we're actually watching this process. So, it's being a part of me. I'm just letting you know in advance. Okay, go ahead, Jay.
Do we have any sound effects from folks getting hit? Anything like that going on today?
That's all we got.
All right, fair enough. Well, I'm gonna move forward with what we have going on this week. I think it's pretty cool. We're gonna be a little less serious, but what we're going to talk about this week is we have situations where embarrassing things can happen. So what we're talking about is falling and then getting up. So sometimes these embarrassing things happen to us. Sometimes they're funny things. Sometimes maybe we're trying to impress somebody and it just went horribly wrong. So what we're looking at doing this week is looking at some of those. I think I have a story or two that I would like to share. And I know, Trey, I think you mentioned something that was in your background that you wanted to share as well. And then we're going to move on to our segment of Behind Closed Doors. And we're going to look at relationships in the sense of sometimes folks ask you that uncomfortable question of, do I remind you of somebody else, or did you do this with them? Now, me personally, I've had some not-so-positive instances of that question occurring at some very inopportune times.
Not once.
We are going to address that as well. But moving on to our first segment. And it was, we're calling it, I hope nobody saw that. Because I think we all have those moments where things just happen. And we hope nobody saw. Now, I've looked up a couple times and I know somebody saw. But we always wish and hope that nobody saw it. So, you know, I remember, Trey, and I'll start, if I'm going to tell you, this is something that happened to me working as a professor. I was teaching one particular day, and I had an overhead projector that was making a grinding noise. So my class was about to start. I put a chair, and I look into it, and I see that there's a very large amount of dust on the fan that's supposed to cool the projector. So in my infinite wisdom, I went down to the supply shack, and I got a can of compressed gas. And my intent was to clear that fan. And I figured since it was running, that'd be a great way to do it, make sure I get all the blades. And I stood up in my chair, and I cleared it from the back, and then I turned out to the front. You know, I walked around to the front in the chair, and I began to spray this gas. Now, I say gas because generally when you work with computerized equipment, it's compressed air. I should have read the can a little better because it did say compressed gas. Now, as I'm cleaning this projector, I see a blue flash, and I hear a small explosion. And as I close my eyes and try not to fall out of the chair, I smell burned hair. And I just know my eyes are full of glass because this light bulb has just exploded in my face. That I know has just happened to me. And I close my eyes real tight, trying to keep the glass out, and I kind of feel my way out of the chair. And I get brave enough to open my eyes, and I look up at the projector, and I realize there's no glass. But what has happened is this compressed gas that I've been spraying has gotten ultra-heated and has exploded across the front of my face. Now, I smelled hair. The hair that I smelled for two different places, well, maybe three. Part of it was the upper part of my goatee, my nose hairs, and my eyebrows, and, well, an eyelash, too. So
it was bad. Did you have one of those good Lord moments?
it was bad. Now, what made my moment even worse is my classroom was filling up with students. And none of them came to my rescue, but what they did say is, can you do that again so we can put it on YouTube? And I thought, wow, that's really horrible. Now, I ran to the rescue. My intent was to see how much, if any, of my eyebrows were left. They were a little bit singed. My eyelashes were gone, and I had the smell of burnt hair in my nose all day. Now, I don't know if you ever had burnt hair in your nose. It's a horrible smell. It's horrible.
No, go ahead.
Oh, wow, ouch. That's another show, brother, another show. But anyways, man, I returned to the classroom, and my students still didn't come to my aid, but they made sure that they stayed late for the next class so they could tell the upcoming class what had happened. So that story lingered around for the better part of 2 or 3 months about the time I blew up with the projector.
Oh,
and
man,
yes, everybody saw it. Everybody saw it.
Not cool. See, mine was talked about, but it's bad when it's talked about amongst your partners, your friends.
Oh, boy.
We went out to this place called the Jockey Club, I had one of my boys with me from high school. His name was Chet Sanders. Good brother. So every fella has done this. You stop by your boy's house and you throw in some smell good. You know, everything is good. Wonderful, joy. I'm happy. You know, I said, hey, let me drop this on. And he says, and it would sound like something from a BET commercial. He says, no, my brother, you got to get your own. The cologne was called Millionaire. I hate it to this day, Millionaire. So I seen this other stuff, and he had something else in the corner, Brute by Fabergé. So I was like, no, I'm not putting on the Brute. And then I am not a Polo fan, and that's all he had was Polo. Polo, Brute, and Millionaire. So I said, well, this is Polo, so everybody's talking about Polo. So I try some. I put it on. So, you know, I'm clean. And, you know, I got on my Roland shirt. I got on a pair of Cavalrici pants. Got those Giorgio Bertinis rocking on the feet. I'm looking kind of sick. I walk into the spot. You're assessing the environment, surveying, as it were. I see this young lady across the room, and you know, in my youth, she would be the epitome of what gorgeous was. And I was like, man. And I said, that right there is going to be with me before the end of the night. And all the fellas are right, you know, everybody approached, and I said, excuse me. I walked up to her, I said, excuse me. Now, before I get into it, We all looking clean, you know, we all looking clean. This is, and so there was that yes moment. So all the fellas looked in the mirror and said, oh, my goodness, his glasses, yes. You know, shirt, yes. Pants, yes. Shoes, yes. He says, greatness. Everybody said, yes. So I shook my boy's hand. You know, you did the man hug. Yeah. And the polo was faint. And, you know, he had on millionaire. So we get to the club, da-da-da-da. And I approached the young lady, and I said, excuse me. And I said, if you don't mind, may I dance with you? And she looked at me from her feet, and she looked at my shoes, and she said, Cavaricci? And I said, yeah. She said, oh, my God. And she said, is that a Roland? And I said, yes. And she said, sure, let's dance. You know, I was like, all right. So we get out to the floor, and, you know, I start doing my thing. Hey, you know, oh, hey, oh. And everybody goes, oh, look at him, look at him, look at him. I don't know. So, you know, the song goes from a fast flavor to a slower flavor. And she, you know, I hold her, you know, I'm dancing with her. She's kind of close, you know. And I'm like, oh, she goes, she takes a whiff and she goes, sniff, sniff. And she looks at me and she says, oh, my goodness. And I said, what's wrong? And then she goes, sniff, sniff. And I said, she says, oh, my goodness. And I said, what's wrong? And she says, she looks at me and she said, and her friends are looking. Her friends are equally as nice. And she goes, are you wearing millionaire? And I was like, no, I'm not. That was, no, I'm not. I'm wearing polo. And she said, you're not wearing millionaire? I said, well, no, I actually, I shook my man's hand over there and gave him a little dap, and he must have got his cologne on me. And she looked at me, and she says, I hate polo. And she walked off the floor and went and talked to Chet.
Oh, man. Wow.
Everybody was looking at me. I was standing there in the middle of a slow dance, in the middle of the floor, by myself.
Wow.
Because I wasn't wearing millionaire. I hate millionaire.
That's horrible, though, man. Yeah, that's horrible.
Man,
wow.
My self-esteem felt like a pair of bad gym socks, dog. Just stunk.
Wow. Wow.
That was one of my mean moments.
Man, and that's horrible that she handled it like that. But we've had those moments, and we learn from them. Now I'm curious.
Yeah.
Did you go out and buy a new cologne after that?
Man, I hate millionaire. I want to find the owners of millionaire, the makers, and shoot them off. Here it is though. I'm gonna just tell you, for those joining or listening, here's the thing. We all have those moments that are embarrassing, or that we seem as if we can't bounce back from them. And kids have them, especially teenagers. And nowadays, they don't understand adulthood yet. Adulthood
Correct.
Has a whole different league of pressures, a whole different
yes.
level of pressures. So the pressures that they're dealing with, if they come to you, don't overlook them. Embarrassing moments can be life or death nowadays.
That's
life
true.
Life or death.
That's sad.
The mortality rate of our the mortality rate of our youth is exponential. It's growing, and it's because of small pressures. The things that you and I experienced. Yours is as an adult, but still a kid that would have gone through that. Might not have taken it as easily. And it's easy for kids to take the position of becoming a social pariah because of something because of an odd situation, an embarrassing moment, and a dot in the span of time. It's not even a parsec of a dot, but it impacts them. So be mindful of those things that you see. Don't take any situation that comes to you for granted, whereas your kids are concerned. As an adult,
absolutely.
Chalk that up as something that's fun to talk about, like we just did. But as a parent, no stone is unturned where your child's self-esteem or their comfort level is in question, ever.
Agreed. And folks, if you'd like to join in the conversation, it's 347-855-8662. That's 347-855-8662. Trey, I know we need to move on to our next segment, but
yes.
I want to share one more story with you. And I wanted to make sure that the statute of limitations has passed before I... No, I'm teasing. It's not that bad. But I'm not going to tell you the city and state, but I'm going to tell you what happened. There was a particular time I went, at the time I was married, I went to go grab a bite at a little joint with my spouse. And we sat down to eat, and I was suffering from a little bit of a sinus issue where I was a little clogged up, and the food just didn't sit well with me that day. And I went into the restroom because I became instantly nauseated. Now, going into this restroom, I locked the door behind me, and about 3 seconds after that, I realized what they meant by projectile vomit. Now, I know this is going to sound really bad, but I got to share this because this is probably one of my most embarrassing things that has ever happened. I went over to the sink, and I put a G.I. Joe Kung Fu grip on the sink because I was trying to hold myself up because I think my eyes were shooting water out. It was really bad. I could see they were red in the mirror. And I know that water is not supposed to come out of your eyes like a laser, but it seemed like that's what was happening. Now, my stomach locked up. And it cramped. It felt like someone reached in with 2 monkey wrenches and twisted my intestines in 2 different directions. And I could swear to you, Trey, that this thing filled up almost instantaneously. Now, because the thing filled up, I got sick again. So I moved over to the toilet. And I'm trying to control myself, but my guts are locking up. I can't stop. I'm like, I don't know how I got this much stuff in me in the first place. I was just baffled. Now, as I leaned over toward the toilet, I got this cramp, and it bent me over first, and then it stood me up. And because I was trying to grab my side, I began to spin, kind of like one of those sprinklers that go in a circle. And, Trey, everywhere in this bathroom got messed up. I mean, it was horrible. It was worse than any horror movie you had seen. It was worse than any dream I had. And it was one of the most, I had to step cautiously to get out of the bathroom. Now, here's the thing. Normally, something like that happens. I'm a dad. You know, when the kid tosses his cookie, I will go ask for a mop.
Wait a minute.
It was horrible.
I'm sorry.
It was horrible.
Was the macaroni soggy or the peas mush? Did the chicken taste like what?
Man, I don't even know what was in that stuff. Trey, I'm telling you, the bathroom had been painted from about waist high down, and the floor was covered. Now, I was so embarrassed, I didn't know what to do, and I'm ashamed to say, Trey, I left. I went out, and I grabbed my spouse by the hand. I said, we got to go. And she said, what's wrong? I said, we got to go. She says, is everything all right? I said, it is not, and we need to go right now. I grabbed her, left her meal on the table. We went to the car. I drove off. I never went back to that restaurant. Now, I felt so bad, Trey. Believe it or not, in this story, there's one other person I felt even worse for. See, I worked in restaurants, and I know that the person assigned to clean the bathroom is always the new guy. And I'm 98% sure that that new guy opened that door to that bathroom and said, you know what?
And quit.
I know he quit. So if you're out there, new guy, I apologize for that. But I just wanted to share that. But you know what? I recovered, folks. It's one of those embarrassing things. You know, it happens. Man, it happens. And like I said, it was out of my control. There's nothing I could do about it except be embarrassed. But you know what? Life didn't end. It didn't end. And that was years and years ago, thank goodness. But, all right. So, with that being said, we have a few minutes left. I want to move on to this second segment here, Trey, a behind-closed-door segment. And
yes,
I was thinking about this because I recall years and years ago dating someone. And we were laying in bed. Nothing going on. I was just stroking her tummy, just relaxing. I think we were watching TV. And she flipped on me. And she said, are you doing that to me because you used to do it to your ex? Did you do that to your son's mom when she was pregnant? And I was like, wow, that's uncomfortable. And the mood, however nice it was, became very
instantly
tumultuous.
Yes, it
was amoroidal at its best. It was just bitter and nasty, and I was at the point where I was just like, you know, I'm not really sure why you're here right now. Maybe you should go. That was my thought. Now, I didn't say that. I tried to recover, but it was just a very awkward situation. So my question this week is, have you ever had, they say, do you remind me of them, or did you do this with this person or that person?
Ladies, if you're listening, feel free to call in. 347-855-8662 and tell us why you would ask this question. I've reached a point to where I believe I have an answer for that question. But let me share this with you. I was out with this young lady some years back, and we're sitting down at the park. We're sitting down at the park, chilling, relaxing, and I'm holding her hand, and I said, "Let's lay back." And it seemed like something out of a book. I said, "Let's lay back." It was the sky was well lit. I'm a hopeless romantic. I'm pushy beyond reason. It's just me. Sorry. So I said, "Let's lay back. Let's look up in the sky." Da 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 da. So, I know what Ursa Minor looks like. I know what Ursa Major looks like. I know what Urella looks like, and Big Dipper, Little Dipper, and I know it. So I say, "Oh,
there's a joke in here, bro, but I'm not going to interrupt you with it."
So I look. I said, "Look," and I said, "That right there is the Little Dipper," and I said, "And that one is the Big Dipper." And she said, so she rolled over. She kisses me, and she goes, "So I just have a question." And I said, "Sure." And she goes, did you tell the last girl you were with about the Little Dipper and the Big Dipper?" And I was like, "Excuse me?" She said, "I mean, you know, because I want something original. I'm offended." I never got to answer. She was offended, and she actually got upset. Here's my belief. I believe, and ladies, correct me if I'm wrong. Fellas, we're engineered this way, and it's real simple. And, I mean, you know, this is my opinion. We're simple. If I take my girl to dinner, and she likes fishy sauce, cold potato soup, if she likes species what? Mental note, women may like species what?
Mm-hmm.
If we go to a concert and I sit down and she's like, "This is perfect," and I don't get up, mental note, women like it if you're reserved when you're at a concert. Now, this doesn't have to mean that I'm doing it because I did it with someone else. It means that I'm trying to study. I'm trying to learn. So the next time your fella buys you a flower on a Friday after work and tells you just because you're wonderful, it's not because he's trying to hide something or because he's trying to get back at something or because you remind him of his other girl. It's because this is what he knows or believes that can make you happy. That's it. No hidden agenda.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
That's it.
Well, I want to throw something else in there. Go ahead, Trey. Go ahead.
I'm just curious. Why would you ask? Why would you ask a question you wouldn't really want the answer to?
That's where I was going with my next statement.
Yes, I'm just curious because would you really want your man to ask you, or to ask you a question like that, fellas? Would you really want your girl to ask you a question like that? Ask you about somebody else? And here's my thing. My belief is this. You're here. They're not. Apparently, it didn't work. Whatever it is you think, it did not work for them because they're not here with me. You are.
Right.
That's just me.
Right.
Go ahead.
Right. And I'm of the mind that you don't ask a question that you don't want the answer to. Like, there's certain questions I just don't ask the person I'm dating. You know what? Hey, that's the past. I can't change it. And no need for me to get mad about it, so why would I ask you? There's no reason for me to ask that question or, you know, certain questions. That's just how I see it. But I think sometimes people get caught up in, I think humans by nature, and we addressed this in a show a long time ago, humans by nature are competitive. And I think that we all want to know that we're getting the best or the best from the person that we're with. So
I agree.
That, I think from my lens, part of that question comes from being competitive, trying to see if you're getting the best. And I think, too, sometimes folks want to know, like, do you love me the best? I know maybe that's a very plebeian way of putting it, but I think that's realistically the question that they're asking is, do you love me more or better than you loved the last person, or do you care for me more or better than you did the last person? Now, I think that's an interesting question that can open up a very interesting dialogue between the couple. You know, that's my perspective on it.
I don't want that answer, because if that was her first or if that was his first, the answer could be disappointing to the person that's asking it. Reason being is because,
I agree.
Yes, I love you to death, but that was the first person I've ever eaten popcorn with. That was the first person who ever rubbed my bunions. That's the first person who I ever shared the most intimate part of me with. No, I don't love you that way. But I do love you more another way. And that's the whole thing. Sometimes you have to look at the fact that, and we've talked about this before with in regards to love, but we'll bring it back. Love is so saturated. It just is. Because how many times have you said, I love that purse, I love this drink, I love that car, I love those papers, I love these flowers? Yes, you can be loved, but you're going to be loved a different way with every experience. And the love that you have at that moment, that care that you're receiving, that's specifically for you. And here's the truth of the matter. The person that's with you is bringing everything that they've ever learned to the forefront to make you happy. So, yes, there was another person that that hand rub came from, but you're the benefactor of it. Yes.
Right.
The flowers you received are because it was influenced by the actions of another, but you are the benefactor of it.
That's a good point. And you know, I'll tell you, bro, I had a buddy who was a masseuse, and he told me a couple of things like, you know, massage techniques and so on and so forth. Say, you know, try this or try that if the pain's here or pain's there. And then I also had my ex's uncle was a chiropractor. So, you know, popping a back here and there is not, you know, anything outside my realm. But I've done that before and had someone say, well, where did you learn all this? And I thought, you know, that's a really interesting question. You know, I don't know. Me personally, I would never ask that question. I would accept the benefit and go on because maybe I don't want to know where that person learned it. Just because for my peace of mind, you know, I used to work at such and such a place. And, you know, okay, that's cool. That's your past. I'm not going to judge you. I didn't need to know that, you know, and it's okay. You know, or maybe it was learned in a school or from a friend. But realistically, I don't want my image of that person sullied or their image of me sullied. That's
exactly
my perspective. The fact is, you're right. We are benefactors of what it is that we have at hand. And sometimes it's best just to enjoy that moment, that time frame of what you have at hand.
I agree. Life is a picture of moments, people. It's a picture of moments. And the ones that are good, enjoy them. The ones that are challenging, learn from them. And those ones that are rough, they make you stronger.
Indeed.
Love can be fleeting, so enjoy it as
indeed
you have it.
Agreed. Well, Brother Trey, unfortunately, another episode has come to its end. If you would be so kind as to take us out, and I will be looking forward to working with you again next week.
Most deaf. Cheers. Bottoms to the top. Remember, every thought is grand. Every idea is warranted. And for every step you take and for every endeavor you make, for every love you enjoy, may they always be on point.
On point. See you next week, folks.
Peace.
Mm-hmm.